No, I didn't know how they look like.
Right. There's a file that I mentioned. You didn't hear that on tape?
I got the file, but you said that they weren't like what's on the file. So I...
Well, I don't think I said that. Because there are some here that... These are accurate here and on the left-hand side.
Well,
these right here are not real accurate. But I did mention that we were going to have a test today, didn't I, on the Hebrew alphabet? I don't know why you wondered.
I checked Tuesday afternoon and I hadn't been through school.
I've seen more problems with this than any other semester that I can remember, with students not getting their notes back. I don't know what the problem is. It's strictly handled by volunteers in the tape library, and the notes are turned in there and they check them off there and return them there. And to eliminate any... Yes. Well, I'll tell you what. I do the same thing in here that I do with the Greek alphabet. I have a week of mercy extended, but there's a great reduction, you know. Well, I have to do that, really, to be fair to the other students. Because they have a certain time that they have to work in, see, to... So, what we'll do then, let's take out a sheet of paper and write your name on it, and I'd like to have you write the Hebrew alphabet. I didn't talk about vowel points last week, did I?
No.
Okay. That was a real, real boisterous no. No. Just about 1% of defiance there, but not... It was loving defiance. No. Here's what I'd like to have you do. I'd like to have you write all the Hebrew letters for me, including, and I'll just tell you how many there are, including the five final forms. So in other words, we looked at, how many were there? I think 22 letters, was it, or 20? 22. Well, depending on, there's one that had, you know, two forms. Okay, so 22 letters, and then there are five final forms. So write the Hebrew letters, and then I'd like to have you give me the names of the Hebrew letters as well. Okay? The names of the Hebrew letters. So give the letters of the Hebrew alphabet with the final forms and give the names of the letters. Yes?
Do you want the ones that have that accent mark in them? Do you want those forms?
Oh, the dagesh? No, you don't have to do that.
You want the ones with the hard sound and soft sound?
No, you don't have to do that.
But we can if we want.
Yes, you can if you want. You can do that.
I would not deprive you of such exquisite joy.
It is fun.
Ecstatic joy.
Star or the final forms.
Do all those
you just learn those are fine. You can just learn these, and that'd be fine. Because I doubt if you... It's not going to matter. These are basically close enough. Or what you could do, maybe it'd be better. Maybe if you... Could you make a photocopy of this?
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, here's the names right here that I gave in class.
Oh, good.
Once you make a photocopy, back here, this would be better. You got all the forms right here. Mm-hmm. And then the final forms are right here.
These are hard.
Yeah, those are not.
Well, everyone's done. Some aren't. How many aren't done?
You have a little ways to go, Connie. Either that or you can go to the library and keep working on it, put it in my box, or you can take it again. I'll leave it up to you. Okay, if you're all done, why don't you go ahead? Please make sure your name's on your paper. Hand it to your neighbor. And what you can do is take out that file that I gave you. File number one. And let's do it like this. As far as grading, let's just make it 1 point for each letter, 1 point for each final form, and 1 point for each name. Okay? So, and then if they have them totally reversed around like an Aleph exchange with a Beth or something, then what it would be is, I guess what we'd have to do is probably mark each one wrong, unfortunately. No. No, if it's recognizable, it's acceptable.
You said you didn't have to do the
Bagagapats?
Bagagapat?
Right. That's the monster from the deep that lives down in Sheol, the Bagagapat. No, we don't have to do the Bagagapat. So all you have to do, just 1 point for each letter, and then remember with the sin and the sheen, those are two separate letters, and then there are five final forms, and then there would be the 23 names of the letters, Sin and Sheen being two separate names. And then put the minus number up at the top. Yes.
What if you only wrote the Hebrew name instead of the pronunciation?
Well, that's what I wanted to do. Yeah.
No. I didn't know that, Jim, you were part. Well, he's got some Jewish blood in him. You got some Jewish blood in you. From the tribe of Issachar.
I did mine.
What tribe are you from? Is that your letter?
No.
Is it?
Should
these extend to it? It should, but we're being lenient. Okay. We're being lenient. You just draw a correct one beside it.
Okay.
It's, we're not going to be real picky with this. So.
I like this first. But here's the.
He's using the Texas style, right? synagogue. Actually, that tail grew in the in-between time. We were just adding it to you. It wasn't on there when he grew it. Damn, I happened to be doing that thing.
That's the way I learned it.
Yeah, we're in it from the first to senior. But you can recognize all that in very much more problems. At first, when I started, I thought, this is impossible. But if you get
trying to convince me you're not from the tribe of this guy, you're from the tribe of Manco.
Fatty?
You're supposed to have a skull cap on your head. All about Jews, too. Sodin? Okay. May Noon Samek Ayan Pei Sade. Okay, that's the final form. And, okay. So, Sade. Yes. That, there's not a, a good Sade would be like this. And he's got the final, I'd say minus one. Minus one.
And was that wrong if he gets failed?
No, that's close enough. And then, Cole, if you're saying that spell wrong too, yeah, that's close enough.
So just minus one?
Yeah.
My, I was going by this spelling strictly, okay?
Okay.
Forgot about that. And because that's, you know,
that's was, fine.
But then when it comes to sin,
it's
spelled both ways, same sin.
Mm-hmm.
Not like this.
Mm-hmm.
I put both, and I put one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still my one.
Sin, sin.
I know there's two letters, but
yeah,
it was spelled the same.
So I just threw it one.
I'd say, yeah, probably minus one.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not going to affect the grade, really. Let me find this one.
Sure.
Well, we're going to go over those in class.
Okay.
We'll go over those assignments. Okay, let's pass up the test here. Make sure that you have the proper corrections on your tests.
Did I pass this around?
Yeah.
What I need to do now, we're going to go over the assignments here in just a few minutes. I think we had, what, file number, was it 34? 34, wasn't it? Okay, we'll go over that in a few minutes, so you might want to have that ready, file 34. I'm going to hand you out two more assignments, which are the last assignments for this semester, that you can work on those. But before we do, what I'd like to do, I'd like to go through the Hebrew vowel points. Now, you're not required to memorize these, but these are in addition to the letters that you learned. What you learned were 22 consonants. So you did not learn any vowels, and the Hebrew language did not have vowels. They did not write them. I should say the written language did not have vowels. The spoken obviously did, but the written did not. The vowels were not added until around AD 600 to 800, which was a long time after the language had been invented. It was a fairly elaborate system added by the Jewish scribes called the Masoretes, and they traced their tradition all the way back to the certain family back to Palestine. But by the 600 and 800s, in the ADs, the Hebrew language was becoming obsolete, and it was for the most part a written language and not a spoken language. And because it was a written language without vowel points now, they were losing the pronunciation of it, and Hebrew was becoming a dead language. And see, that's happened before where they found ancient languages, but they did not know how to pronounce the letters that they saw, like the ancient Babylonian cuneiform writing and so forth. Unless you've heard it, you don't know how to pronounce it. And so they developed what were called vowel points so that when you saw the vowel points, you would know how to pronounce the words. So I'm going to write these vowel points down. So just remember now, these are coming after the fact. The vowel points were not in the early Hebrew manuscripts, although any Hebrew text that you now open up undoubtedly is going to have vowel points in it. Although if you were to go to Israel and to like read their daily newspapers and so forth, a lot of those do not have vowel points. And their whole newspapers and so forth are all just written with consonants without the vowel points. And when they go through high school and so forth, they learn the vowel points for the first, forget what it is, first 8 or 9 years. And then through high school, they wean them away from the vowel points and they start reading the Hebrew language without vowel points.
What was the year that they started adding vowel points?
In the AD 600s to 800s.
AD?
AD 600 all the way up to AD 800. So that'd be like Moses was writing 1500 BC. That's a good 2,000, 2,300, 2,400, 2,500 years after Moses started writing with the Hebrew language. See, so they came much, much later in time. Now what I'm going to do, first of all, I'm going to draw a little chart of symbols here that'll help you understand what I'm saying. When you see this little mark, part of a triangle without the bottom line on it, that's the longest letter sound that you can make. So that's a real, real long E sound, the longest. When you see a straight bar like that, that's a long sound. When you see an E like this, that's what's called a short sound. And then when you see a mark like this, this is shorter. So we have a longest sound, long, short, and shorter, and these marks are going to indicate that. So what I'd like to do, I'd like to start with the A vowels. Now, I'm using only one Hebrew consonant, but realize that these vowels can be found on virtually, most of them can be found on virtually any Hebrew consonant, although there are a couple vowels that are found only on four Hebrew consonants. You don't need to worry about that, but I'm using only one Hebrew consonant, the letter bet. But you could use kaf, you could use tau, you could use mem or nun or samek or any other Hebrew letter virtually. So let's start with the A vowels. Like this. And if they want to make an A sound that is long, it looks like this. That's the letter bet, and I'm putting the dagesh in it to give it a hard sound. That's all. All this means is this is a hard bait as opposed to a soft bait. So the dot is not significant. That's not a vowel point. The vowel point would look just like that, put below the letter. And that would indicate a long sound. This is called comments. They've given a name to each one of these vowel points. And it has a long ah sound. So they pronounce this ba, ba. See? And of course, without the vowel, you couldn't pronounce it, but when they put the vowel on it, it gives it a long. So to transliterate it, it'd be kind of like this. See? It'd say ba. Although we pronounce that bay, but they pronounce it ba. And then if they just want a normal A sound, take the bath again, and they just have a little mark like that below it. Just put a straight dash, and that's called patak. virtually the same pronunciation as the comments. We virtually make very little, if any, distinction, although at one time there must have been a distinction, but that's been pretty much lost to us. Now, if they want to make a real short A sound, now this is one of the exceptions. This vowel point will occur only on four letters, the He, the He, the Aleph, and the Ayin. But this is called Kafif Pathak. It's an extra short A sound, as in the word abound, as in this A here, abound. You barely pronounce it. That's what this is, the Khatif Patach, written just like this, with a dash with two dots below it, and it goes only on about maybe, I think, four letters. So those are the A vowels right there. If you're listening on tape, there is a reference tool that you can consult to see the vowel points. And that reference tool, I don't have the name of it. It's the Kohlenberger's Interlinear. It's in the graduate library section. And if you look in the introduction there, for the Old Testament, he's got one section on vowel points. And you could look there to see what we're doing. Now, the E vowels. They want to make a real long E sound. There's the letter Beth again. There's two dots. And then they use the letter Yod. The letter Yod sometimes functions as a vowel. And that's called Seri Yod. They have rules that you learn when you study Hebrew language to know when this is a consonant, the consonant yod, and when it is a vowel. So it's seri yod, and it would be as in our word say. So you'd pronounce that bay, with those vowel points. Now if you want to make just a long E sound, they have the letter bay like this, with two dots below it, and that's just a seri, and it's pretty much the same as say, and they draw it like this. So what difference is there between this say and that say? There's none, really. And so there's really no difference between the sound of this vowel point and this one right here. And then if they want to make a normal E sound, they have what's called a segol. A segol is three dots written in a triangle like this. And it's relatively short E sound, as in our word bet, kind of an F sound. Pronounce that as a bet. If they want a short E sound, this is one now that goes on those only a few letters again. They put two dots like that, and then a segol beside it. So they've got a total of five dots there. And that's called Khatet segol. Now, there's one final E sound that's so short, they put the E upside down. And they write it like this. And this is simply the letter B. With two dots below it in a line. And that's called schwa. The letter schwa, and it'd be the same as in our word average. The E in average, see, you barely pronounce the E in average, and that's the way the schwa is. It's a real, real short E sound, just two dots in a row like that. Let's move over to this board here. Any questions?
Could that last silent?
Yeah, there's times when it is totally silent.
I have a question.
Okay.
You were saying that Sarajevo and the Sarajevo are not very much different.
Right.
Would it make a difference in the meaning of a word, though?
It could, yes.
Okay. The sound would be different, but...
The sound would actually be the same if you were to pronounce them, but if you were to see the written word, it might make a difference. See, just like this, if I write this word, how does that sound?
Read or
write. Okay, read, and then if I wrote this word, read. In other words, if you heard it pronounced, you wouldn't know which one it is. Like if I said read, read, it sounds exactly the same. But when it's written, two different words. Well, same with some of these Hebrew letters. If you were to hear the Hebrew word pronounced, it would sound exactly the same as another Hebrew word. But see, it's spelled, it'd be spelled differently with different vowel points. So they have the same problem in their language that we have in ours. With the only way you know the difference is the context of what is being said and the written form of the letter itself. Yes?
The Kadosh Sigol.
Kadosh Sigol?
How does that one sound?
Yeah, it's about the same as bed. It's an E sound. Two dots with three dots right beside it.
What was the dot in the middle giving it a hard sound?
That's called the dog-ish. The dog-ish. Get you all ready for Hanukkah here. Did we already go by Hanukkah?
Yeah.
It's just coming right up, isn't it, pretty soon? Okay. Have a special Jewish section in the sanctuary in the church. The I vowels. You want to make a real long I sound? Take the letter B. You put one dot below it with a yod. It's called a hirik yod. Hirik yod, as in our word machine. If you want to make just a standard I sound without any long sound to it, it's just simply a dot. That's called a hirik. And it would be as in our word hit, just like in the word hip there. So, and then there are the U vowels. There are two U vowels. Standard U sound. The letter B. And this time there are three dots in a diagonal like that. That's called a caboose. And it's a long U sound, as in our word rude, an oof sound. And then if they want to make a real long U sound, this time they use the letter wow. And they put a dot in the middle of it. And that becomes the vowel point, shurik. And it's about the same as rude. You wouldn't be able to make any real difference, tell any real difference. So kibbutz and shurik.
The kibbutz have three dots below it.
Three dots below it, right, in a diagonal.
When they only had consonants, how would they know what they're saying?
Well, they did have vowel points, but they were spoken.
Oh, I see.
See, they were spoken vowel points. But when they wrote them, they wrote the word without vowel points, but they pronounced it when they read it with vowel points. It'd be like if you took the, let's say you had the word shepherd here. You know, you see that and you pronounce it as shepherd, but if you went to write it, you'd write it like this. And when they saw that word, they pronounced it shepherd. Even though these letters, the vowel points there are left out.
When they pronounced it, there would be no other word with the same consonants right in a row.
There could be.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
If they wrote it, so some guy wrote that word down in the, let's say a scribe was copying something, mm-hmm. and wrote that roll of letters down. Then the next guy that gets up there and does what Jesus did, he could be given the wrong word.
There's a potential for confusion.
Yeah.
This happens throughout the Old Testament. You read in the commentaries, they'll say, with a change of vowel points, this could be an entirely different word. And that is a possibility. More often than not, it's ruled out by the context, though, that cannot be the right word. But there are times when there is ambiguity. But remember now, their vocabulary was much more limited than ours today. We have a much, much broader vocabulary because of the technology. And back in 1948, when Israel became a nation, they reinstituted Hebrew as their national language, which is their national language. They speak it and write it now. And they resurrected the Hebrew language and used for their grammar book the Old Testament. But they've got all these terms that are not found in the Old Testament. Toaster, automobile, engine, you know, airplane, bomb. You know, they didn't have bombs back then. Terrorists. They had all these terms. So what they did is they take English words like toaster and they spell them with Hebrew letters. It sounds exactly the same. Like toaster, they might spell toaster, towel, you know, toast with a sin, with another towel, with a resh like that, toaster, and then they put the vowel points in there. So it's the English pronunciation. They would pronounce it toaster, but they would write it like that, with their Hebrew word, to increase their vocabulary. So it didn't... What I'm saying is, back in the Old Testament, they didn't have near as many words. Their writing vocabularies weren't as large, and they didn't have as much potential for confusion as our language does today. But there is that chance in the Old Testament. And finally, the old vowels. Long O sound is written with the letter wow again. There are two consonants used as vowels, the yod and the wow. And the letter wow with a dot on top is called a colon wow. Colon wow. Pronounced as in our word bow. If they want just a long O sound, they put a dot right on the top. There is a potential of confusing this with the letter sin, because the letter sin, see, has, of course, you write it like that with a dot. So they've got rules to tell you when it's the sin and when it's just the letter holom. In that case, they've got all these rules for all these different exceptions. Letter holom, as in the word bone. And then if they want just a standard O sound, really? You're right about that. This actually is exactly the same vowel point as we saw earlier, the comets. But this is called a comet's hot tube. The comet's hot tube, and it's about the same as bone again. You say, well, how do they know if this is a comet's an A sound or a comet's an O sound? They've got rules again. Rules for determining
You know the comments Hattuf versus the comments.
Yes.
What's that?
It sounds like a little legalism still.
They want a short old sound. They have this letter, which is a schwa, with the comments beside it. That's called a chatev comments chatu. And it's an extra short O sound, as in the word collection. When you say the word collection, you barely pronounce the O sound, collection. Well, that's that type of O sound. Chatef kametz chatu. Actually, you're supposed to put a little bit more in those words, when you a little bit more to it. It's supposed to be chatef kametz chatu. Kind of an Arabic sound. So those are the vowel points. Now I wanted to say something though. Let me write a few of these words down and show you how it works. Need to watch the clock because we need to correct that one assignment. In fact, why don't we do that? Let's correct that assignment, and then I'll come back to this if I have enough time. You won't be required to learn these. Yes? Oh, that's all right. You just sit here and, you know, you did the assignment, so, right? Okay, you did the assignment, so. Okay. Yes, you can do that. Let's take out that assignment. Remind me before you leave to hand you out two more. You will remind me, won't you? Okay, I thought so. This is file 34. I'm going to go through this and read the answers. Yeah, you can hand these out right now. And what we'll do, there's file 35 and file 36 here. File 35, let's make that due next week, which would be what, December 12th? Okay. December 12th. And then what do we have? Only two more classes after this? Two more classes after this. Okay. So, file 35 is due next week, and file 36 the following week. So you want to write that up at the top. Andres, you can just do yours and hand them in early. Put them in my box, and you'll basically have completed the class. Okay. Yes. And the 20th is the last day of Bible college, is that true? Okay, we'll finish just about right in this class. So. What's that? Yes, these are assignments that use the reference books.
I think these are really helpful.
I think so too. I think that they are. Let's look at file 34 here. Let me read the answers to you. I need to get through all this real quick. So most of the answers are straightforward. If you have any problems, stop me and ask them. But if not, if it's straightforward, just correct your own. And correct your own paper where you have a wrong answer, write in the right answer. Part 1, look up John 21. Number 2, how many times do love and lovest appear? 7 times, right?
Yeah.
Number 3, consult Young's Concordance under to love. What two Greek words are used? Agapeo and phileo. Number 4, look up these same verses in Strong's. Do Strong's agree with Young's? Well, the answer for that is, in most Strong's, no, because there's a mistake in Strong's. But some of the editions of Strong's are corrected, so the answer may be yes. But the purpose of this was to show you that these reference tools are not infallible, that they may periodically have statistical or tabulated errors and mistakes in them. Number 5, it says, read the Greek interlinear. Was Young's correct? Yes. Was Strong's correct? No. Although, again, you may have had a corrected or revised Strong's, and your Strong's may have been correct. Number 6, consult Vine's dictionary on the meaning of these two words. What does Vine say about the meaning of the two words in John 21? He says, agapeo is an unselfish love, ready to serve, a love that values and esteems. Phileo conveys the thought of cherishing the object above all else, or manifesting an affection characterized by constancy from the motive of highest veneration. Now, in my opinion, Vine is wrong on that. I feel that he's not accurate on that. And I feel that, see, what he's doing, he's taking phileo, which is a tender affection love, he's making that the highest form of love. And really, agapeo love is the highest form of love. So I think, in my opinion, Vine is wrong on that point.
I didn't understand it. I understood it that he felt that agapeo was a higher love.
Well, he said, but he says about phileo, though. See, he says about phileo, it conveys the thought of cherishing the object above all else. And that really is not what Peter was saying. When Jesus was saying, you agape, and Peter saying, no, I phileo you, I mean, I cherish you above everything else, that's not true. Really, what Peter was doing is choosing a lesser word than what Jesus was using. Jesus was using the strongest of all Greek words for love. And Peter was saying, Lord, I don't agape you, but I sure do phileo you. And phileo, really, the basic meaning of it is a tender affection, friendship type love. We get the word Philadelphia, brotherly love, from that, see. But anyway, what does Vincent's Greek word studies, say about the meaning of the word? He says, Jesus uses the more dignified, really the nobler, but as it seems to Peter in the ardor of his affection, the colder word for love. And again, I think that he's wrong on that point. I don't think that Peter was saying, boy, Jesus is using a cold word for love. I'm going to use the real fervent word. Does he agree with Vine? In my opinion, no, they don't agree. But apparently, from what I understand, both seem to miss the mark slightly. Jesus was using the word for love in a higher sense of valuing and esteeming, and Peter couldn't say that he loved the Lord that way because he had just denied the Lord. But Peter did recognize and did say, Lord, you know that I have affection for you. So I don't think that either one of these reference tools are right on this point here. I think that they're a little bit off. And again, the purpose of this was to show you that the reference tools are not the inspired Word of God. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. And so there are times when you have to practice what is called suspended judgment. When you use the reference tools. That is, you cannot read, take the first thing that's said and take that as thus saith the Lord. You read it, not that you're a skeptic and everything, but you practice suspended judgment. There's a little bit of reservation in your mind. You examine and check some other reference tools out. You look at the context and see if that really makes sense. And really what both of these people are saying here, in my opinion, don't make full sense if you read the context. Like, why would Peter think that Jesus was somehow using a colder word for love? I mean, that just doesn't flow with how Jesus would do things. What does Thayer's lexicon give us the basic definition? Agapeo means to have preference for, wish well to, regard welfare of, take pleasure in the thing, prize it, love other things, being willing to abandon or do without. Yes?
I thought that Vincent was vague in his usage of Greek terms in that particular word agape and filio.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get anything out of it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, part two. Look up 1 Corinthians 1:10. Number two, look up perfectly for this passage in Young's. What other passages translate the word as perfect? Matthew 21:16, Luke 6:40, 1 Corinthians 1:10, which that's not other passage, but anyway, it's there. 2 Corinthians 13:11, 1 Thessalonians 3:10, Hebrews 13:21, 1 Peter 5:10. Number three, look up the Greek words applied in Young's in the back of Young's and list what other English words are used to translate the word fit, frame, make perfect, mend, perfect, prepare, restore, be perfect, be perfectly joined together. Number four, look up the same word in Englishman's, list all the places it's used. Matthew 4:21, 21, 16, etc. Number five, explain why you have more scripture references listed under question four than under question two. It sounds like the IRS here. You know, why do you have more money on this line right here than you do? Englishman's Greek concordance lists all the places where the Greek word is used, whereas Young's only lists the places where it is translated perfect or perfectly. There are other usages of the Greek word that are found under other headings in Young's. You basically get the answer there that I mentioned? Okay. Any problems with that little assignment, that little portion there? Okay. Part three, look up Philippians 3:11. Consult Young's for the Greek word for resurrection. What is it? Ex Anastasis. Ex Anastasis. Number three, does Strong's Concordance give the same Greek word? Yes. Number four, Strong's Concordance gives another Greek word as the root of the word we are studying. When we examine this root word, we find that it in turn has other roots. And basically what it boils down to is Young or Strong's will lead you to three basic roots: ek, ana, and stasis. Ek means out, ana means up, stasis means to stand. So it has the idea to stand up out from among the dead. To stand up out from among the dead. Now, how many had problems coming up with that from Strong's? Okay, well, what we'll have to do, we ran out of time here. Tell you what, keep your assignments. And what I'll do is I'll trace it in Strong's with you. We might pull down Strong's next week and look.
One other question. A couple other questions.
Okay. And everyone has file 35 and file 36? Is someone going by the Bible College office that could hand these in to them for me? Okay.
You don't have a class now?
Thank you, Jim.
Okay.